Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
There is something on today's show a little later on that I'm really excited about, a special message from Georgia running back Nick Chubb to Dog Nation. This is actually going to be really cool. We'll do this coming up in just a little bit. I'll tell you the whole story on that. I've also at some point in time, now anybody who works with me or my own family will tell you, there is nobody who hates logistics more than me. I don't like small details really at all on any subject. And today I do have to do a little logistic stuff with you because I am going to be gone next week, but we do have some podcasts coming. And today's show is a little bit different because of our getaway day type thing. So I got a lot to explain about today's show and about the next couple of Dog Nation dailies coming up a little bit later on. We'll do that then. For now, let me just say, first of all, it's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. And I want to start with something I heard on the radio this week, and I thought this was really cool. Former Georgia coach Mark Richt was a guest on The Front Row, which is a morning show on Atlanta sports radio station 680 The Fan, and it's a wide-ranging conversation. You can go to their website. I'll make sure I put a link to this when I post the show notes, our podcast at theworldfamousdognation.com. You can listen to the full interview yourself. It's kind of a wide-ranging conversation, but there was one thing in particular to me that really stood out. Now, I didn't expect Richt to say anything other than this. Obviously, Richt's a classy guy. He's going to be in a first-class manner as he speaks about Georgia coach Kirby Smart. And yet, it's still really good to hear. The question comes up of, hey, what do you think of the job that Kirby Smart's doing thus far at Georgia? What do you think about the guy that followed in your footsteps there at UGA? And as you might imagine, because of the job Kirby is doing and because the man that Richt is, he had a lot of good things to say about Kirby Smart. I believe you'll enjoy this. Here is Richt from 680 The Fan.
You know, Georgia's doing great. And I'm happy for Coach Smart. I've been friends with Kirby a long time. And, there's a few guys on the staff that I still know. And, you know, the players that I'd recruited, most of them are on the way out, if not gone. But, Catherine and I, my wife, we watch and we cheer for Georgia when they play. And it's not shocking that they're doing well. Georgia should do well. It's a great place with great tradition, and it's Kirby's doing a heck of a job running it.
So listen, I think there's a lot there from Richt, and first of all, I will admit that just hearing him speak kind of reminds me of the affection that I sort of once had for him when he was Georgia coach, and so many of you who watch and listen to us every day kind of feel the same way. That Richt was a justifiably popular figure when he was Georgia coach because of the way that he always kind of went about his business. And now, I mean, we're going on 4 years of Richt no longer being the Georgia head coach, and Kirby Smart's obviously given fans plenty of reasons to like him and appreciate the job that he's doing too. And so it's almost like, even for someone who once cast as large a shadow over the state as Richt did, there's a certain sense of out of sight, out of mind, where you almost forget, oh yeah, Richt was a good guy, is still a good guy. And I'm really glad to hear him happy about what's going on at Georgia, because one of the things I've been kind of pushing for is, and I don't really know what this means or how this happens, but as Kirby goes through his Georgia career and likely builds a lot of success, he's already been to the college football playoff, he's on the doorstep of maybe winning a national championship, because his accomplishments in the years to come could be so significant, it would be at least possible to kind of forget about some of the things that Richt did. And I hope by Richt saying, hey, you know, I'm still proud of Kirby Smart, I'm still rooting for him, I hope it makes it easier to kind of bridge the gap from the Kirby years to the Richt years. Because I do think that the Richt years, I'm not saying that Kirby has won with Richt's players, that's oversimplifying this. And yet, as Richt pointed out, that he has had recruits in this program for the last 3 years under Kirby Smart. For the most part, we're kind of cycling out of most of those guys. It's too simplistic to say that Kirby's won with Richt's recruits, but it's certainly fair to say that Kirby hasn't won yet without any Mark Richt recruits. And I think that's an important thing to consider, Mark Richt didn't exactly leave the cupboard bare for Kirby Smart in his first couple years in this program, and some of the success that Kirby has had has at least been aided by the steward of the program that Richt was before Kirby Smart got there. That's at least important to remember. But for those of us, and I'm 42, and I hear from a lot of people, you know, from time to time, who are kind of my same age, and they kind of look back on those early Richt years the same way that I did. If you're too young to remember this, or too young to have been going to these games, it is really hard to kind of put into words how big of a deal it was for Georgia to win the SEC championship game in 2002. Now, a lot of people will say, well, it shouldn't have been that big a deal. This is Georgia, and Georgia ought to be winning and dominating and blah, blah, blah. And to a certain extent, that's probably true. And yet the reality was that had not kind of been the case. And in 2002, Georgia broke a 20-year drought to win the SEC, get to the SEC championship for the first time after a decade of other teams like Tennessee and Florida representing the East there in that game. It was a gigantic, monumental deal. And even when Kirby Smart eventually goes on to win a national championship, I do believe that's what he's going to do, I'm going to tell you something. That 2002 season for me as a fan is still going to have a big old piece of my heart, a big old place in my memory banks of what Georgia football once was and the fun that I had as kind of a young guy. Just enough money to go to the games, not so much responsibility that I couldn't, you know, find my way to every place that George was playing. Those were just good times. And I got a lot of affection there for Rick. And just hearing him talk about Kirby, to me, makes it a lot easier to remember that Rick era and say, the Kirby Smart era may be great. The Rick era is pretty good, too. And all Georgia history is worth remembering. And the Rick history is kind of worth remembering here just a little bit as well. And it's also just kind of nice to hear Kirby Smart say, yes, or I should say Mark Rick say, yes, the foundation at Georgia exists. The resources exist that Georgia ought to be doing well. And yet the job that Kirby Smart is doing, even with those resources, is still a commendable one. I just really like hearing that from Mark Richt. It was from 680 The Fan, the morning show. You can check that out yourself. I'll put a link to it at dognation.com. But I wanted you to hear that as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. Now, one more thing from Rick in this interview, and I guess at this point in time, is there anybody else now after this that has not weighed in on Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville in the last 2 weeks? I think Rick is the last person to be heard from on this, but he also has his thoughts on this rivalry game. It's such a big deal to those of us here in our studio each and every day, and to so many of you as well. We've had our say and our piece about whether or not the game should be played in Jacksonville. There's some movement to suggest that maybe the folks who want to leave there got a little momentum on their side. Rick said, you know, leaving Jacksonville was something he wanted to do almost from the beginning of his Georgia career. Here is more of him on what has been a hot topic thus far this summer.
When I first got there, I didn't like it either, and I wanted to, you know, to me, it wasn't neutral site.
Right.
I was like, hey, let's have a neutral site in Jacksonville, and then let's have a neutral site in Atlanta.
Right.
Okay, let's take turns doing that, you know, in lieu of the fairness of it. And I thought even the, you know, if you're in Florida and you're playing in a hot game, you're used to the heat, you might be at Georgia 15 degrees difference in practice, and then you're going to a hotter atmosphere. You know, there are some things I didn't like about it, to be honest with you. I understand the tradition of the game, and after a while, I just quit talking about it because I knew it wasn't going to change.
So I think that's really interesting stuff from Rick. A couple things here. First of all, Rick was the first one that I know of that ever suggested maybe the rotation not just be Jacksonville, but also include Atlanta as well. When we talked to Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarity last week, he said that's the one idea that he's not sure has much legs, that the game's not going to be in Jacksonville. McGarity said the game ought to be on campus, and with due respect to Rick, I more agree with McGarity's statement on that. Either play it every year in Jacksonville or play it every other year in Athens with the other game potentially being in Gainesville. I think that's the better overall decision there, but it's interesting to hear Rick kind of weigh in on that. The other slight point I will get to is it's kind of funny how this opinion has evolved over time. You know, Rick, when he first brought this up, kind of brought it up as a potential disadvantage for Georgia always playing every year in the state of Florida. Some Georgia fans think that's still true today. But for the most part, the push that goes on for potentially leaving Jacksonville for the Georgia-Florida game is not related anymore to the on-field conditions and the challenge of Georgia always playing in the Sunshine State. As Kirby Smart has articulated, this is more about the lost opportunity to host recruits every other year. So Kirby's argument seemingly has nothing to do with the game itself. It's how the game on your campus impacts future recruiting classes, and that's at least worth pointing out. But for now, though, it's just kind of nice to hear from Rick. Nice to hear him happy for the success that Kirby Smart is having. And great news for those of us who are, I think, somewhat students of Georgia football history who want to be able to appreciate both coaches. Rick's words there make that a lot easier to do. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented today by Kroger, and glad to have you with us live on video. 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep. And we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad to have you as a part of our program today. And by the way, speaking of our friends at Kroger, make sure this summer, all summer long, you get grilling with fresh flavors. Your local Kroger's got everything you need, whether it's those barbecue ribs or the chips, the sides you got to put together with that. I know a lot of you enjoy cooking out on the summer, throwing some stuff on the grill, being out there on the back deck. The place to get stocked up for all that is with our friends at Kroger. We're happy to have them sponsoring Dog Nation Daily here today. In just a few minutes, I'm going to go around the doghouse presented by Meriwether and Tharp and talk about Keely Ringo. Let me take care of a couple pieces of business before we get there. I had a great afternoon yesterday. I've told y'all before, we've been kind of busy lately where we've had to kind of get off the air a little earlier and not stay as much time with our comments just because we've had so much going on around Dog Nation World Headquarters. I had a chance to sneak over yesterday to Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in beautiful Towns County, Georgia, as a way of kind of a pre-planning meeting, site check type meeting for our upcoming Dog Nation days of summer. Y'all, when I tell you that Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa is in pristine condition right now, and it is all set to welcome Dog Nation in. We've got a lot of announcements coming in the weeks ahead about why this one's going to be so much fun. But please, go ahead and mark your calendars for Thursday, August 1st, and actually do more than that. Go to DogNation.com, click on the tab for Dog Nation Days of Summer, and get yourself one of these VIP room experiences before they are gone. We are about to, when I get back from vacation after the following week, we're about to just start unveiling all kinds of fun and surprises for Dog Nation Days of Summer, partially why it's going to be just as good as our previous one, and some of the things about this one that are actually going to be a little bit different and unique to Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. We will tell you all about that coming up in the days ahead, but don't wait, because if you do, the rooms may be gone. Please check out the tab at DogNation.com, and I can't wait to see you at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa coming up on Thursday, August 1st. That is going to be a great, great time. Now, let me take also just a quick minute here to kind of get you up to date on the schedule for today's program and then the next couple of days heading into my vacation week. This is kind of a getaway day for me, so a lot of the stuff we've been trying to get done, people we've been trying to have on the show, sometimes that kind of all falls on the kind of like the last day before you're gone, so we're busy today. I've been wanting to catch up with former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards to get his thoughts with the current receiver situation at Georgia. Terrence has got some strong statements to make about that. He's going to do those on our show a little bit later on today. I'm really happy about welcoming Terrence Edwards onto the program. I love preseason predictions. I love this time of year to let smart people tell us what they think may happen with the football team this year, both UGA and the rest of the SEC. Our buddy, Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network and so many other outlets, he's going to be with us on the program here today to do a lot of that kind of stuff, too. I'm really excited about having Tony as a part of today's show. And many of you are going to say, well, what about Jeff Sintel? I want my recruiting fix. Guess what, y'all? We've got Jeff Sintel today as well. Let me give you a quick note on how this is going to happen. If you're watching on video, Jeff is going to be with us about a half an hour from right now. So we got a lot of fun content coming up. Jeff live on video coming up around 11 a.m. Eastern time. Now, if you're a regular podcast listener, you're going to have one of two ways to listen to Jeff Sintel. I'm going to distribute that at DogNation.com Monday and Tuesday of next week. So if you really get the podcast on the website, you'll be able to get it there. If you can't wait until Monday or Tuesday to hear this, when I post the show today, I'll also put a link to the Monday and Tuesday shows. We are podcast only for 2 days next week, Monday and Tuesday. No video shows all next week while I'm on vacation. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. That's kind of the way things are going to go. And if you missed any part of this, I'll try to explain it more clearly in print when I post the show at DogNation.com a little bit later on today. For now, though, as I said, let's go around the doghouse presented by Meriwether and Tharp today, my good friends over there. And I know they're big dog fans. They were happy about the news yesterday. Not unexpected, but now official. When five-star cornerback Keely Ringo dropped his top five, kind of a cool edit here, Georgia is among these schools, along with Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas. Now, there has been some chatter for a while that maybe it's a Georgia-Texas type one one versus one battle here for a Ringo. I don't know for sure, how true that is. I'll let Jeff Sintel give us more of the expertise on that when he joins us, when he's a part of the program a little bit later on. But I do know this. Everything you continue to hear about Ringo, given his size, given the speed that he showed off at the recruiting event in Atlanta this week, given all that kind of stuff, this is one of the biggest recruitments you could possibly have for Georgia in this class, because the big receivers at places like Clemson, Alabama, they are not going out of style anytime soon. So Georgia finds itself where it always expected to be, in that top five for Ringo. And now it's going to begin to do that work of also whittling that down to the top one as well. Georgia's been great with defensive backs. We talked about that yesterday. Has Ringo noticed that? A lot of evidence to suggest that he has. I cannot wait to see where this one goes. But Georgia in that top five for now. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Merriweather and Tharp. And listen, the divorce process can be scary and confusing. We all know that. You've got questions not just about your own future, but your family's future as well. Can things be put together? Can things be made whole again? Well, you may be only going through this for the first time, but Merriweather and Tharp's been through this thousands of times. And the chaos that comes along with this process, they are experts at helping you navigate your way through it. The good news is you can and you will feel normal again, but you need an advocate on your side. That's what Merriweather and Tharp provides the opportunity to do. Make sure you reach out to them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com. Check them out, Merriweather and Tharp here on Around the Doghouse. All right, it's Dog Nation Daily, presented today by Kroger. It's Terrence Edwards later on, as promised. Hope you enjoy Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart, right now. Boy, it is fun to have Tony Barnhart back on Dog Nation Daily. Been a little while, at least, a couple months maybe, since we've had Tony on the program, and it's good to have him here back today. Tony, I hope you've been enjoying your summer, and I know you're like so many of us, counting down those days to the start of the season, and you may be like me on this. It's around this time of year where I kind of feel like that countdown starts to feel a lot closer. You know, Florida playing Miami in the middle of the summer, I guess, kind of helps with that just a little bit. But I'm starting to feel like this season's not so far away anymore. Would you agree with that?
I would, Brandon. Every year it happens the same at our house. I live in a little community called Dunwoody in Atlanta, and we have our own 4th of July parade. And my wife and I go watch it every year and enjoy it. And about the end of the parade, she turns to me and goes, "Summer's over, right?" I said, "That's right." Because July 5th, we start getting ready for SEC Media Days, which is on the 15th. And so, yeah, as the old song says, that the days are dwindling down to a precious few.
That's exactly right. Well, I've got a lot I want to talk to you about on today's show, and a lot of that centers around what's actually going to happen on the field for Georgia this season and its SEC brethren as well. Before we get to that, though, you know, I joked about this before you came on. It's been a little bit of a hot topic, more than a little bit of a hot topic, the future of Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to at least get your thoughts on this because I know that in addition to being, you know, a very serious journalist yourself, you have a lot of friends who really, really love this trip to Jacksonville and, you know, have treated this is somewhat of a sacred getaway. A lot of folks kind of feel that way, this special, unique place that it has in the college football calendar. I talked to Greg McGarrity last week, though. He said about half of Georgia fans don't want the game at Jacksonville anymore, and he acknowledged that Kirby Smart truly does not want to play the game in Jacksonville either. Can the cocktail party survive if 50% of the constituents plus the head coach don't want the game there anymore?
It can survive, but it certainly makes for a lively conversation. And because I think this is a generational type thing. I think the Georgia people of my generation, this has been a big part of their lives, going down there and playing the same golf courses and eating the same restaurants, and going to the beach. And the guys I've been going with, they've done it like 37 years in a row. I haven't been able to do it every year because of work commitments. But it's gonna be an interesting discussion. My belief is that it's gonna survive. It's gonna survive in Jacksonville because at the end of the day, people are gonna look at it and say, do we want to give up this much tradition for one more recruiting day? And depending on, you know, a lot of people don't feel that way. And to me, it's gonna be an interesting topic. And it's funny how it always comes up when we get down to the second or third year before the new contract comes.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point there. As far as Georgia on the field, as you know, the big news, it's a week old now, but it's not gotten any smaller in terms of how it impacts Georgia. That's the dismissal of Jeremiah Holloman. I think you and I are both going to say Kirby Smart, given the facts as we understand them currently, really had no choice but to do what he did with Holloman. And now we'll see kind of where his life and career goes from here and kind of how Georgia steps in to replace him as a receiver, because after all, this is still a football show and this is still going to be kind of a football story. And Tony, kind of what I said is it is not impossible to replace Holloman and still, you know, have production at the wide receiver position, even after having lost Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley and the other receiving targets that Fromm lost on last year's team. It's not impossible to do this, and yet it's not insignificant either. Georgia finds themselves essentially the least experienced team at receiver of all the national championship contenders, and I'm guessing if you went back and looked years and years into the past, you're going to see Georgia as a pretty significant outlier in terms of how little it brings back as in the way of targets for Jake Fromm. What's your overall perspective on how hard or how manageable this problem might be for Georgia?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, if there's one position on the football team where you can afford to play young guys, young talented guys, it's wide receiver. You can manage that. And go back and look at Alabama the last 3 or 4 years. Look at how many true freshman wide receivers they have played. You know, guys like Jerry Jeudy. So it can absolutely be done. And we forget, you know, Holloman, yeah, did finish well last year, but he only caught 24 balls. It's not like you're losing a guy who caught 70 balls. So keep that in mind. And Georgia's recruited well enough, and they're bringing in the kid from Miami. Mm-hmm. And Demetrius Robertson is a guy that I think a lot of people are sort of waiting to step up and be the player everybody thought he could be. The thing with Holloman does not change my overall perspective of Georgia. It's just somebody else is going to have to play.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, because I think experience at the receiver position matters, but in a weird way, it's almost like its own gumbo of all experience, kind of adding to the story of what Georgia is and what Georgia isn't. And while Georgia is inexperienced receiver, it's actually probably more experienced than some people might think on defense after losing, you know, a key guy like DeAndre Baker a year ago. Georgia actually brings back a good bit of production on defense, and in these early season games, Notre Dame included, Notre Dame's probably less experienced overall than Georgia is. Georgia actually does have a little bit of a ramp-up time on its schedule before it gets to the games in which the opponent really does bring back more from a year ago. Tennessee is an example of this. Florida is an example of this. Georgia doesn't see those teams until October or later. So from a schedule standpoint, it actually helps get these young receivers ready to go, because you got a little bit of a step up before you get to the games that probably matter the most.
Well, and the key, of course, is that they're talented. Okay, we're talking about people with real, real talent, and you've got a veteran quarterback in Jake Fromm, and that's only going to help those guys a lot. So again, people were calling me last week when Holloman was let go, and I was just telling them, I said, guys, first of all, you don't want to lose a player who's shown he can be productive. I don't get me wrong, but the fact of the matter is, if there's any position you can afford to do it, it's wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then, you know, Tony, the other thing is, it's kind of funny, we're several minutes in this conversation, we haven't really brought up the name Jake Fromm, and, you know, this is one of those years where Fromm does have more experience than Trevor Lawrence, although when Lawrence has played, he's been spectacular. Fromm has a little bit more experience than Tua Tagovailoa, although he's also shown some spectacular moments. This is one of those years where Fromm's experience, if you're a Georgia fan, you hope that becomes something he can really use to his edge and his advantage. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, experience hasn't always mattered for quarterbacks in the college football playoff. We've seen inexperienced quarterbacks play well there, but the fact that Fromm is going into his third year, the fact that he's taken a lot of snaps for Georgia in an offense that'll at least be similar to what James Coley's going to do this year. The other big hope here, I think, for Georgia is the place where Georgia has kind of the most experience at the quarterback position. It just so happens that's also the most important position in the sport.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a veteran offensive line, one of the better offensive lines Georgia's had in a long time. Great depth at running back. And so I think the offense is going to be really, really good. And Fromm has shown that he doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. And I think that's extremely important. Now everybody's got a book on Trevor Lawrence now. I've talked to some people who said that there are certain things you can do to pressure him. So, Trevor Lawrence was great, don't get me wrong, but I think the second time around is always interesting, because people now have a book on him of what you can do.
I've had some national writers on the show this summer, and really a few of them have kind of said something close to the same thing, admitting that the sport can be a little boring when everybody's making the same predictions. And because of the way that certain teams have marshaled all the resources, it's getting a little harder to make a surprise prediction anywhere, maybe the SEC included. Almost everyone's going to pick Alabama to win the West. Almost everyone will pick Georgia to win the East. How likely, how possible do you have an identity of a potential surprise in the SEC? Is there something that could happen in this league this year that you and me and those who are paying close attention to this stuff that we wouldn't necessarily think all that possible in late June moving towards July? Is a surprise still possible in the SEC right now?
The most intriguing storyline to me is outside the obvious is LSU, because they say they have made the commitment to open up the passing game by bringing Joe Brady in from the New Orleans Saints. They have a lot of confidence in their quarterback, Joe Burrow. They've always had, they're always deep. They've always been talented. That's never been an issue. And I think Ed Orgeron learned a lot about being a head coach last year. Now, they go to Texas on September 7th, and we're going to learn a whole lot. But I think if they do open up the passing game, they are talented everywhere else. And it will be interesting to see how they challenge, if they can challenge Alabama. But keep circled September 7th when they go to Texas. That's when we're going to learn about them.
Yeah, Tony, I think that's a lot of fun to start thinking about. And it's always great to be able to talk about this kind of stuff with you at Dog Nation Daily. I know you got a lot of summer content out there rolling in the start of the season. For people who want to find you online, what's the best way to get in touch with the work that you're doing and your thoughts on the upcoming season?
Well, we write, three of us and four of us in business together, in a website called TMG that stands for The Media Guides, tmgcollegesports.com/Maven, M-A-V-E-N. And we're not doing a ton of stuff right now, but we are going to crank it up around just before SEC Media Days. And we'll be there on a regular basis and looking forward to it.
Can't wait to read that stuff, Tony, and hope to get a chance to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for being on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today.
All right, Brandon, take care.
Good stuff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So I think that Tony's point on LSU is a really interesting one. And, Tony was on the show several months ago, and he said something at the time that kind of had the reverberations of a hot take, although I think it was a lot more reasoned than that, and there's a lot more evidence to support it. And I hope I'm not putting words in Tony's mouth. I think he's the one that said this. That basically Alabama's path in the SEC West is slightly more difficult than Georgia's in the SEC East, because if you look side by side, what you think of as the number two team in the West, LSU, and what you think of as the number two team in the SEC East, Florida, for me personally, I don't think there's any doubt that LSU, to me, is the more solid, more dangerous team there. And I do think the closer we get to the start of the season, the more I think that LSU holds a lot of cards for this upcoming year. Now, for what it's worth, not everybody is as high on LSU this year as I am. I know even Connor Riley, when he's a part of the R.S. Andrews cool down at the end of the show, he's been a little skeptical of LSU. I saw the other day our buddy Barrett Slee from CBS Sports. He talked about taking the under with 10 wins when it comes to LSU. I'm not buying into that, y'all. I'm not buying into that at all. I'm not telling you that Joe Burrow's going to be a spectacular quarterback. I think he's a better quarterback at this stage of his career than LSU's had in quite some time, maybe even going back to Zach Mettenberger back in, 2013. I think LSU's a pretty interesting team, and this pains me to say it, but I believe it's true. I think John Emery Jr., the running back that Georgia kind of missed out on when he flipped from Georgia to LSU, I think he may be a household name in SEC country here this season. I think that he and Ty Davis both are two very impressive freshman running backs. I think LSU's going to lean on them, and I think that LSU's got more defensive talent even after losing Devin Wine, after losing Greedy Williams. It's still a pretty talented defense. I think that LSU is potentially a national contender, which would give the SEC West at least two of those. That becomes a really interesting division. If you're looking for the possibility of a surprise in this league, I think a school like LSU certainly is an example of how that could, maybe go down. The other thing I thought that Tony said that was interesting is going back to the Georgia-Florida deal, and yes, I know we've talked about this a lot, but kind of a final thought on that, at least for today's show. Tony used the word generational to kind of describe the divide between the fans who want to keep it in Jacksonville and the fans that don't. I think largely that's true. Now, that's not universally true, because there are some young fans who enjoy the cocktail party too. Frat Beach is probably the perfect example of that. But I think that Tony overall is right. for the people who've been doing this for a long time, it just means more to you than if you've only been one or two times in your life because you're just now old enough to start going on your own. I think that's probably true. For a lot of people, they've done this for a long time, and there's just a more entrenched feeling about it when you've done it that much. It's SEC through time. Before we kind of get too deep into all of this, too, can I show you this quick picture? You know, we had Dog Nation Days of Summer, our kickoff event at Callaway Resort and Gardens back earlier in June. One of the things we were able to do, do y'all remember these cornhole boards that we were talking about on the show for a while where you could go and you could order yours and Nick Chubb was going to sign it and personalize it for you? We thought we'd turn the tables on Chubb. We said, we're going to not only accept your signed and personalized cornhole boards, how about we sign and personalize a cornhole board set for you? And everybody who came to Dog Nation Days of Summer at Callaway Resort and Gardens signed a set of boards that we gave to Chubb. If you're watching on video right now, how about this picture of Chubb with these cornhole boards? And a big thank you from Chubb back to Dog Nation for those. I'm going to tell you something right now. On a Friday before I go on vacation, there isn't much that can make me much happier than seeing Nick Chubb posing and smiling with the cornhole boards that we were able to deliver to him. What a really, really fun thing. Just awesome stuff, and so glad we're able to share that with Chubb. If you're normally a podcast listener or a radio show listener, check out the video today if you don't mind, just so you can get a chance to see that picture. I was really proud. I'm really proud of that. I think that's a really cool thing. We're almost done with our SEC through. Let me just say, one of the things I was going to talk about here, Bill Connelly, the recent hire to ESPN from SB Nation, has a really good piece kind of looking at some what-if scenarios for college football playoff contenders. Honestly, I don't have a ton of time to break all this down right now. Let me just push this back. We'll probably end up talking more about this a bit later on, but that's kind of a fun thing. So we'll get ready to wrap up our SEC through here. We do have Jeff Sintel coming up live on video in just a couple of minutes. We will also have him on podcast that we'll make available to everybody as well. But I know a lot of you want to hear from former Georgia wide receiver on the situation with the Dogs at wide receiver. Let's get ready to talk to Terrence Edwards right now. On Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Terrence, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us, and we hope you're enjoying your summer getting a chance. I know you've been busy working with these receivers, as you do all the time, but hopefully in between that you've had a chance to be by a pool or enjoy a little summertime fun. You're not working the whole time.
No, I haven't had opportunity yet to get out and enjoy myself, but in the next week or so, I definitely will get out on vacation with my family and my kids.
Because that's what people don't realize, Terrence, right? And you and I talked on the phone the other day, and you had just gotten off the football field. You'd been doing some training and some coaching. For the guys that are, you know, receivers for Georgia or that next generation of NFL receiver, this is that time of the year where media guys like me aren't paying attention. The average fan doesn't get to see. But the work of catching all those balls on those Saturdays, it's done right now, right? Getting that footwork done, getting those hands shored up, getting chemistry with a quarterback in some cases. But, you know, the work of being a good receiver happens right now when the rest of the world's slathered in sunscreen and dipping their toes in the water. That's when receivers are going to work, right?
Exactly. Right now, it's kind of one of the biggest college athlete and a football player. It's this summer and the summer heat, being your just crap and trying to be the best player that you could be, and this is the best time. It's hot right now. We really don't want to do it, but to be the best player, this is the perfect time to be the best player you could be.
Well, listen, I know that so many of the guys have had a chance to work with you are grateful that you're putting your time in with them, and there's nothing that we like more than knowing these former Georgia guys are still taking care for the next generation of football player, not just Georgia guys, but, you know, guys that are just trying to further their dream of playing football at a lot of levels and a lot of different schools. I think it's really cool that you're a part of that, and I want to transition, if you don't mind, to a more serious subject just for a moment. Obviously, you're aware of the news that J.J. Holloman was dismissed from the Georgia team this past week, and you know, Terrence, there are really two prongs to this story, right? There's the issue of how does Georgia respond to this on the field, but there's also the issue of, you know, how does Holloman learn from this, grow from this, get the help that he needs to make sure that in the same situation next time he doesn't make as bad a decision as this turned out to have allegedly been for him in this situation based on the facts as they've been presented in news accounts thus far. I mean, what are your thoughts on JJ as a person here and how he moves on and does better after this allegation against him last week? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, first and foremost,
we must say that we don't condone allegedly what he did done to the young lady. That is a horrible transgression that JJ made. It's just horrible. And I think any punishment that came his way, he deserved if the allegations are true. And most likely they are because he admitted to them. So that is the first and foremost. And my biggest issue with this whole thing is this is not about football anymore. This is about, you know, two young people in a situation that is not good for either party. And I feel bad for the young lady. And I also feel bad for JJ because I know him personally. I know his family personally. And, you know, JJ is a good kid that made a horrible mistake. And I just hope he can get his life together. And I know he's will. I'm very confident that, you know, him, his mom, his family would get past this. And JJ could live the rest of his life and not have people make this. This is a one-time, in my opinion, it's a one-time isolated incident. I don't want JJ for his character to be assassinated off this one-time incident. Bad incident that it is, but I just don't want people to assassinate his character.
I don't want to make you in a position where you have to reveal any private conversations, but have you had a chance to speak to the Holloman family? Can you give us any details on how they're feeling right now and how they're going through this challenging time?
I haven't. I'm pretty sure they probably seen what I put out on social media about it because, you know, he's a really good kid and his mom is a really good lady that loves Georgia football and loves everyone that is involved. So I haven't had a chance to reach out. I will at some point, but right now I'm just going to let them work this situation out with their family.
I know it's not easy to transition to the football part of this, and for Holloman, as you said, this is beyond a football story. This is about how he, you know, gets the help that he might need to move on from a decision he's going to regret in some form or fashion for the rest of his life if these allegations against him are true. And yet there is a curiosity from Georgia fans about how the team does replace him, because Holloman was a big-time receiver. He was the leading returning receiver on this team a year ago. In happier interviews on more fun subjects, you and I have talked in the past a lot about Dominic Blaylock and George Pickens and, you know, guys on this roster that you've worked closely with and trained before. Do you have some opinions starting to formulate on what you think the wide receiver core is going to look like for Georgia now?
I just think that room is just too talented. Yes, we will miss J.J. He's the most experienced receiver that we have, but Lawrence Cajun now transfer is big. I mean, now he's a guy that has played a lot of football, and I would say right now, though, he's probably going to get one of the first cracks at replacing J.J., but I'm not going to write off the other guys that we have recruited and we thought was pretty good football players to offer a scholarship for us. You know, Trey Blunt is another guy that comes to mind that I've worked with closely. Tyler Simmons just now just going to have to span his game and take it to another level. We have Dominique Blaylock. We have Kerry Jackson. Like, we have a lot of guys in that room. Yes, they're inexperienced, but they're very talented. So once they get an opportunity, I think those guys are going to show people of why we recruited them and why people thought they was highly recruited athletes, because they just haven't had the opportunity to showcase their talent. Now, someone has to step up and prove that their rankings wasn't a joke. And I think we got a lot of guys that could step up in that position that JJ has left.
So let me try to ask you kind of an overarching question about this. As you said before, Trey Blunt's a guy that played a lot in 2017, probably less so in 2018. Demetrius Roberts was on the roster a year ago. He's looking to break out. Blaylock, Pickens, freshman coming in. As a guy who did perform at the highest level when it comes to a Georgia the receiver position, what would you tell those guys in terms of the one thing they need to be doing now or the one thing they need to be doing when summer practice begins in a few weeks? If they want to earn the respect of Cortez Hankton, the receivers coach, if they want to get the attention of Kirby Smart, be on the field and be targeted during games, what matters most right now in that step these guys hope to take to be able to do that?
First, they have to trust. They have to trust that they're going to be accountable. That is the biggest thing. Accountable goes in a lot of shapes, form, and fashion. That's taking care of your body, being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, on and off the field, and then just being accountable to your teammates. The second thing is, now you just got to go and show out and be consistent. That's, as a receiver, you want to be consistent in the run game and the pass game. So if these guys can go out and show Coach Hankton, Coach Cooley, and Coach Kirby, Coach Smart, that they can be consistent catching the football, they can be consistent blocking, they can be consistent knowing the playbook to the level that the coaches want them to be. Then we can go out and then they can play fast. Guys don't play fast because they're not confident in one area or the other. When they become confident in their whole ability, 100% of being a football player, that's when they play fast and that's when their talent shows.
Terrence, I think that's incredibly well said. We appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily to share that with us. For folks who want to get more in touch with you and some of the individual coaching work you've done with receivers, how can people find out more about that kind of stuff from you?
You can reach me on all social medias at TE, that's Terrence Edwards, Wide Receiver Academy, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Well, Terrence, I really appreciate you being back here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. It is always a great conversation to be able to have with you. Your insight on this position is really a valuable resource for us. Hope you enjoy your weekend, and we will look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Really good stuff there from a former Georgia wide receiver, Terrence Edwards, and here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Let me also take a moment to do our Kroger kickoff, and of course, as we look ahead on the Georgia sports calendar, really the next big event in terms of the athletic event doesn't happen until August 31st when Georgia gets ready to go to work on that field there in Nashville against the Vanderbilt Commodores. That's the season opener for the Georgia Bulldogs. But the good news is, in between now and then, there are a couple things to think about. Jeff Sintel will be a part of the opening in Frisco, Texas next week. That's a big recruiting event. No doubt some news will be coming out of that. So that'll help tide you over between now and August 31st. Then after the 4th of July week, the next week after that is SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. Dog Nation will have top flight coverage of all of that too. So August 31st may still seem like a little bit of a long ways from now, but there's a lot to do to kind of help get you ready for that. It's a Kroger kickoff here on Dog Nation Daily. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, you can get 3 times the fuel points on hundreds of items throughout the store, including Kroger ice cream, begging treats for your dogs, Hershey's chocolate syrup, Red Bull, and so much more. Just make sure you look for those 3 times the fuel points tags on the aisle, and you can start saving. And let me tell you something. I'm about to fill up the gas tank, get in the car, and drive a whole bunch tomorrow. Saving some fuel money at Kroger is certainly a good thing for me, and I think it'll be a good thing for you, too. That's our Kroger kickoff here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today. And as we said before, it is vacation week next week. So we'll have podcasts up. If you're normally a video viewer, next week's a great time to check out the podcast. We'll have a couple of those. They'll be kind of light and loose. They'll involve Jeff Sintel. We're going to have Jeff live on video in a couple of minutes to kind of set up all of that. But it's going to be a good time. And I'm very appreciative to all of you who have allowed us to be gone next week. It's something that we are really looking forward to, and I know my family's excited about just kind of being away from it all and being at the beach, and we couldn't do that if it wasn't for the support you've shown for us. So thanks for being patient while we're not here next week, and we appreciate you allowing us to come back and talk a little Georgia football with you again the following Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. By the way, Gator Hater Updater, how about that number, 972. We'll see you a week from now, on video anyway, for Dog Nation Daily. Y'all have a great day.